This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. So I'm here with Tom Patterson, the Executive Director, Global Security Services at Dell. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing great, John. Thanks for having me on Federal News Radio.
I know you're new to Dell, but you're not new to the community, and you're certainly not new to computer security. And I want to focus on a couple different things going on in the community here and maybe give some insights from you on how you perceive these different things. You know, back in January here, we had the Black Hat Conference in D.C. was in here, and we got a big conference out in California called RSA Security, the 20th year of doing this. From the perspective of my listeners, is there any value to going to these conferences? Is this something that maybe a federal IT professional should even consider? What kind of value do these conferences have at all?
Well, I think there's a lot of conferences out there because security is suddenly very important to every part of the enterprise. The reason is not for security's sake, but because security is what's going to unlock all those efficiencies that are necessary to compete in this day and age. And they're finally seeing that that's possible. So when you go to these conferences, you can learn about what's really out there, what's coming. Some of the conferences are more vendor-oriented. Some, the reason I came into Washington this week, the Department of Justice conference, was really very useful to help see what else was going on throughout the federal government in cybersecurity. So they can overwhelm your schedule, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You got to be choosy about what you want. But there's a lot of great information out there, a lot of places to really network with other people that are in the same role you are, trying to use security to get your organization running better.
We grabbed Tom kind of between flights here. He came in to give a presentation last night, and he's going to be booking it out to California here tomorrow. Tell us about the presentation you gave last night. Who was the audience, and what kind of topics did you hit on?
Sure. The Department of Justice does a great job putting together their annual cybersecurity conference. This was the third annual cybersecurity conference, and their theme this year was leveraging a collaborative defense. And this is right in my sweet spot, John. As you mentioned, I've been a security guy my whole life. I got started in this at age 17, started working for the government, sent overseas, doing security stuff, and then have come back in my career and really stayed in security for IBM and Deloitte and now Dell. But it's been security all the way through. And what is really the most compelling topic for me right now for the federal government is the concept of public-private partnerships. And that's what I talked about. I was their morning keynote address talking about what's going on in public-private partnerships around security, what's working, what's not working, where the best practices are throughout the government. And that's what DOJ wanted to find. They wanted to expose. They had about 750 employees out there in the audience that were, for the first time in many cases, getting exposed to what is the best way to do this at the Department of Defense? What's the best way to do this in this intelligence community or in this agency over here? So they don't have to reinvent any wheels. And their CIO is just a really forward-thinking guy and pulled together a great group of speakers there. And it was a wonderful, rewarding presentation.
That was great. It's interesting. I had the privilege of looking through some of these slides, and I tell you what, some of these topics, I mean, I know a few of the topics, but you talk about everything from clickjacking to tapjacking to bluejacking to social engineering. I mean, you couldn't have given this presentation 6 years ago because none of this stuff existed.
Never
all of a sudden,
certainly.
It's like if we come back in another year, who knows what's going to go on. And let's just talk about more of these things. I've talked to some high-level people in the government who are kind of wary of social networking sites, and they're not going to get in LinkedIn. They're not going to Facebook. But what we see happening is that bad guys are setting up a presence for Tom Patterson. So whether they like it or not, they're involved in this whole idea of social networking, aren't they?
Absolutely. Social networking, like almost anything that's new, can either be useful or detrimental to you. And it's how you deal with it. If you look at it, you understand it, you try and weave it into your plan, you can actually get a lot of benefit out of social networking. If you put your head in the sand and you say, oh, that's not for us, it can actually come back to bite you. And so that was one of the things we did talk about yesterday, is some of the better groups that are leveraging social networking for good within the federal government and how they're able to go out and reach people. One of the problems with public-private partnerships is, how do you engage with all the hundreds of millions of people that you need to have improve their security? And if you just say, hey, I wrote a report and I put it on our website, you know, you're only going to get a few security folks that are going to go look for that report and download it and understand it. But if you go to where your customer is, there's 500 million people on Facebook. There's how many million, hundreds of millions on Twitter. If you go out to meet them where they are and you speak their language and you don't use too many government acronyms and too many security acronyms, you can actually change the behaviors that you want. You can get these people to understand their threats and to be safer in their way of business. And that's what social media can bring at a very low cost. And some of the people in federal government now are really latching onto that and making good use.
I kind of frivolously talk about these terms. 10 years ago, I sat down with Dr. Peter Tippett, and we talked about threats, and they could name or enumerate the viruses they're worried about then. You know, I wish that's all we had to worry about today. I mean, it would make my life easier. It would make the listeners' life easier as well. Here's a little card here with the list of the 8,000 identified viruses. Whew. I mean, that's what this whole bluejacking, tapjacking, chickhacking is all about. It's got nothing with viruses. It's all kinds of methods and techniques that are attacking people all the time.
You're exactly right, John. It's viruses are so yesterday, and one of the myths that we try and bust is so many people we talk to and users we talk to think that unless their computer slows down or crashes a lot, they must be okay, because 20 years ago a virus would slow down your computer and make it crash a lot. Today's maliciousware or malware, you don't know if you have it. You can't tell if you look, and certainly just a virus scan isn't going to tell you if you're clean or not. You have to really what the bad guys use are something called advanced persistent threats. They mean they really go off and they start looking at it, which means you've got to have what's called defense in depth, and you've got to really take your defense seriously and start learning about what the bad guys are doing and how to counter that. The good news is the good guys are just as good as the bad guys, but it is fast evolving on both fronts.
And I think that's the dilemma that many of my listeners face is let's say they're a federal IT professional, they're responsible for security or maybe setting up networks, and how many articles can you read? Blogs can you read and podcasts? Can you just have an idea of maybe just one small corner of this? And an advanced persistence threat, it's called an APT. You can get three different companies out there who define APT differently.
Well,
and so you're just trying to figure out what it is. It's difficult. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd like to talk more about some of these newer concepts in the threat landscape that's out there. And maybe talk about an acquisition that Dell has just made for a company called SecureWorks.
Great.
You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Tom Patterson, Executive Director of Global Security Services at Dell.
Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on the Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for Feds on the go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Today we're talking security with Tom Patterson, Executive Director of Global Security Services at Dell. Tom's resume includes many, many, many different topics and categories, and we're just going to touch on a few of them here. One of them is with Dell. Dell's made a play recently to buy a company called SecureWorks. So from the perspective of a listener, why should I even concern myself with Dell buying SecureWorks? What's the big deal?
Well, SecureWorks is what we judge to be the leading managed security services provider in the world. We really like them. They've got a great reputation. And they do something that the federal government absolutely, as well as the rest of organized companies around the world, really need, and that is they deliver security efficiently. And that's one of Dell's hallmarks, is delivering efficient solutions to the government and to everybody else. And we're good with our supply chains, and we're good with our making sure that there's no waste anywhere and just-in-time delivery and all of that that we've built our reputation upon. SecureWorks is now going to help us deliver security that way, too. So the deal just closed this week, and the SecureWorks team is still, you know, very focused on making sure that their customers are still getting through the transition and getting everything that they need. But long-term, there's a lot of opportunity to deliver the kind of security that's necessary in a much more efficient package. And what I mean by that is for instance, SecureWorks looks at about 14 billion security events per day on behalf of their clients. They do that in a highly efficient, highly automated way, to the point where about 50,000 of those security events get bubbled up into one of five security operations centers, where trained employees, trained security experts then look at what has to happen. But they do two things. They do event monitoring, and they do event management and systems management. So they can actually help our clients be continuously monitoring. And maybe your listeners have heard that term lately. Vivek Kundra, the CIO of the government, has really been pushing beyond FISMA and checkbox compliance. Let's start looking at real security. Let's do continuous monitoring. One of the best ways to do that is with an automated service. Otherwise, you'll go broke.
And this isn't necessary for the big guys. This is for small guys, because SecureWorks, the way I understand it, they made their mark in small to medium-sized businesses. So it's not just huge things. All kinds of different levels of agencies can take advantage of SecureWorks now.
That's the beauty of the efficient delivery. When you talk about delivering high-end, trusted security expertise in a very efficient, very affordable package, the combination with Dell just makes sense on many, many levels.
I want to jump from 14 billion to another figure that's kind of fascinating. IDC does studies all the time. They did a study for the last quarter of 2010, and they said, 100 million smartphones were sold and 92 million computers were sold. Isn't this interesting? The threat landscape has changed.
It certainly has, and one of the misnomers is that you're safe on your phone.
Yeah, you used to be.
And that's just no longer the case. The more you do valuable things on your phone, you start to do your banking on the phone, you keep your personal identifiable information on the phone, sometimes, you know, health records now being pushed down to the phone. When you have things of value that organized criminals and foreign governments are interested in stealing, if they're on your phone, they're going after them. And there's advanced persistent threats that we were talking about earlier that are targeted directly for every brand of phone. No brand is safe on its own. There is no safe way just to do it. The end user's got to be smart, and you've got to start to look at what information is being pushed down to those phones. Dell has a very active program in the federal government side around mobility security and helping organizations extend their enterprise to include phones, whether they're agency-issued phones or consumers. The employees' own phones now can be used in a safer way. But this is, again, it goes back to efficiency. You know, maybe, you know, in the future, organizations won't have to buy computers or phones for their employees. They'll just let them use whatever they like using, but do it in a safe way. That's now getting to be possible, but definitely takes end-user awareness.
You know, I remember years ago when they first started talking about cookies, and I think over the years here with a desktop computer, you can pretty much manage your cookies. You can't manage them with a mobile device, can you? Because they're there and you have no control.
It is much harder, and the operating systems are doing better job at sort of telling you what's going to happen. If you go into Android now, it says if you click this, you're giving up these six rights, and it's up to the user to make a trade. Am I willing to give up someone that can read and write to my Facebook account in order to get this new game? Maybe that game's worth it to people and they'll choose yes. Maybe the game's not worth it and they'll choose no. The important thing is to give them that opportunity to opt in or opt out. That's what's changing now.
You pick up the newspaper, you hear about WikiLeaks, you hear about attacks, you hear about strange attacks in Iran, can't really understand it. Georgetown University's down the road, they have a master's degree in technology management. One of the courses you have to take is a course on ethics. And so this is the question. So, you know, you're standing at a bus stop and you're 10 years old, someone pushes you, you push them back. Can you ethically respond to a cyber attack? This is a question for Tom Patterson here. It's a two-hour answer, but it's kind of an interesting question, isn't it?
It really is. And the first problem is, who do you push back? You know, a lot of these are stateless organizations that are going after you. A lot of them are shift their identities, and they have thousands, literally thousands of identities a day. So the first order of business is figuring out, you know, who you want to push back. The second is what do you do about it, and how do you respond? I believe that it's really incumbent upon us to make ourselves tougher to hit. There's so many people that out there that still have their default passwords of 12345 or 0000 on their Bluetooth sets. You're making yourselves, you're leaving yourselves wide open. So you don't have to buy anything else. You have to really focus, though, on making yourself less of a target so the bad guys look elsewhere. I really think that the problem shouldn't be brought up into these impossible, you know, terms. Let's get really practical down here. And that's really why I joined Dell, you know, as a lifelong security guy. And I have, as you pointed out, I've worked in the Middle East and worked with government agencies and big companies around the world. Dell has these great relationships directly with the consumers, directly with the small and mid-sized businesses, and they're also a Tier 1 defense contractor and a government provider of enterprises. So we can now deliver the right security in an integrated package, which is, I think, the real answer that people are looking for.
I'm going to have to take a little break here when we get back. I'd like to get some more definitions of tapjacking and clickjacking when we get back.
You got it.
You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Tom Patterson, Executive Director, Global Security Services at Dell.
In Depth with Francis Rose, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Want to know how Congress is affecting your agency's staffing and budget? Want to learn more about the relationship between your agency and its contractors? In Depth helps you become a better manager by exploring the best ways to manage projects, manage your workforce, and manage yourself. In Depth with Francis Rose, weekday afternoons from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Tom Patterson, Executive Director of Global Security Services at Dell, and he's an author.
Mapping Security.
Mapping, M-A-P-P-I-N-G, Mapping Security. Go to Amazon.com and order it, and make sure you order it and learn all about mapping security from Tom Patterson. We talked about trends before the break, and I come up with this funny figure about, you know, 100 million smartphones. But there's a lot more trends out there besides mobile devices in the area of security for my listeners. Give us a few of them, please, Tom.
Yeah, so let's spend a little time on two big federal trends now. And one is, I mentioned before, Vivek Kundra's really push towards continuous monitoring as opposed to a checkbox of compliance. A lot of the CIOs are really picking up on this, and they want to have real security. They want to be compliant, but they want to have also be really secure.
The
threat, you know, changing very rapidly, you've got to not only have built a secure system, but you've got to operate it in a secure fashion. And that requires a couple things. It requires cyber intelligence. If you're not looking at what the bad guys are trying to do to you, then you're not doing your job in security. There's so many advantages to understanding what the threats are out there for you, so you can understand where to deploy your resources for security. The cyber intelligence services, and another thing that Dell is getting now with the acquisition of SecureWorks, is one of the leading cyber intelligence companies, is the ability to look at not only what's happening to you, which may just look like an anomaly today, but if we see it happening at 15 other agencies all at the same time and all the same way, we can then put together some intelligence around that, make some instant recommendations. So continuous monitoring is absolutely the big trend in security in the federal government now. Across the board, whether it's DOD or the civilian agencies, the intelligence communities, they're really looking at what they can do in real time to monitor and to manage their responses. So I would say continuous monitoring, and that's something that the Dell is very supportive of and has been working. We work closely with a lot of these different agencies, working on the transition beyond FISMA and into a continuous monitoring space. The second one is cloud computing. And again, the government's taken a real lead here, not just for the government, but for industry to follow as well, with their FedRAMP standards. FedRAMP, I believe, is an acronym, easy to find. I think it's FedRAMP.gov. But I'm sure you can look at it on federalnewsradio.com. We'll have a link. The secure cloud is going to really change the way security is handled in the federal government, and for a really good way. And with all these mobile devices that we were talking about, and the clickjacking and the tapjacking that you referenced, all those are problems because sensitive information is being left on those small portable devices. when you start to move your infrastructure into a real secure cloud, and that's definitely something that, that Dell is highly specialized in, you're able to really walk away from a lot of those old issues about how do you secure every little device. And really, you keep the information in a secure spot, you make it available where people need it, but you keep control of it at all times. And so everybody is now looking at how you take advantage of a secure cloud in the federal space, and again, also in the commercial sector as well. The banks are all over this, the healthcare providers are all over this, because it solves the big problem of how do you do it all with limited resources.
You know, Tom, you've been doing this for decades. You speak Arabic. You've written books. You've started companies. You've worked for big companies. You work for yourself. You have a good perspective. And from your perspective, are we winning or losing this battle?
Well, it's interesting. That's a great question, John. And when I gave the keynote at the Justice Conference this week, I started describing myself as in the third half of my career. The first half was very government-centric. Mm-hmm. What can the government do to solve the big problem and fight the fight? And I realized then the government alone can't do it. And then I went into the private sector, as you talked about, and I've done a bunch of cool security things for important security companies and big companies around the world. That was the second half of my career. But now there's more and more people like myself that are in the third half, where they're really focused on public-private partnerships and bringing the two sides together. I believe that's really how you win that war. I don't think one side on its own can win this war. The bad guys are finding the gaps between our defenses. But when we work more closely together, and there's a lot of great programs that are out there, the government runs, InfraGuard is a great security program, the 12 different ISACs, Information Sharing and Analysis Centers, that were spun up after 9/11, another great way that public and private are working together. They're closing those gaps. If we continue to work together, if technology companies like Dell continue to innovate and bring solutions that you don't have to be a security expert to understand, you just buy the secure box or the HIPAA box or the PCI box that you need in order to go get the job done, or you want to use a secure cloud, that's really where we're going to go in order to really win this battle. The stakes are really high. It's why I left the beach and got back into the fight. I believe that, there's lots of people now that are really focused on this. I believe we can win.
Now, it's kind of interesting that one side doesn't have all the answers. You know, when my kids were small in diapers, I know all the answers. Now my kids are grown, and I don't know anything. But I think if you look at it objectively, you know, there may be some private resources that a federal agency can tap into, but the federal agency also has resources that maybe the private companies can't. And this is the blend. This is going to Cook's Illustrated and trying to figure out exactly how to make that recipe taste good.
And we're figuring it out as we go. And there's a bunch. I highlighted a bunch in my speech of things I thought were really forward thinking. There's a lot of efforts now in using social media to try and disseminate the right information to the right people at the right time. And there's a program called National Security Grid, which is now a funded nonprofit that's a public-private that's really pushing the limits of what is possible in social media. The Department of Defense has a guy named Riley Repko that's put together a trusted exchange of information where classified information, what we call classified injects, can go in, and yet unclassified people can act on them without violating the State Secrets Act. A great program that really will embrace a wider variety of people to help solve that problem. And finally, living in LA, I believe that Hollywood has a role to play as well. I've helped put together a public-private partnership, if you will, to create a new television show, primetime show.
It's another chapter in the story.
For the fall, that's going to have all the interest and excitement of a typical show, but it's going to show real threats and what we really want in terms of behavior changes to become safer.
Well, thanks a lot for coming in today, Tom. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we interviewed Tom Patterson, who is the Executive Director, Global Security Services at Dell. We talked about everything from Arabic to small companies, big companies, everything in between. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. WFED, your source for federal news now.
The Federal Managers Association invites all federal managers, supervisors, and executives to its 73rd National Convention and Training Seminar, Federal Managers Turning Policy into Action. On Tuesday, March 15th in Arlington, Virginia, federal managers will gather for engaging presentations including Hiring Reform, What It Means to Managers, The Future of Supervisory Training, and Managing a Telework Workforce. For more details, visit fedmanagers.org. That's fedmanagers.org.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive.
Alan Shvatkin, the Executive Vice President at the Professional Services Council, says contractors generally shouldn't work during a shutdown.
Be very careful about those circumstances when the customer says, trust me, I think we can get this taken care of after the fact, because you're at risk. Continuing to work when there is no availability of funds could mean you will not be compensated for it.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/